Here we go.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, August 14th, 2025, 7:32 a.m. And this is the meeting of the Housing and Redevelopment Authority for the City of Edina. And we've got an interesting agenda today. And as you all may know, we've been continuing COVID, post-COVID, doing these meetings in a hybrid fashion. People can watch online and call in if there are opportunities. There's always the opportunity during community comment to call in. And sometimes we have public hearings, none of that activity today. And then we also have folks in the audience that may wish to address the HRA on matters of concern to them. So having called, provided that information, let me call the meeting to order and ask Scott Neal, our executive director, to call the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Risser?
Here.
Commissioner Jackson?
Here.
Commissioner Pierce?
Here.
Commissioner Agnew?
Here.
Chair Hovland?
Here, also here. Next is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, everyone. And we've got a meeting agenda. Is there anyone on the HRA that wishes to modify the meeting agenda? Any staff? Okay, is there a motion to approve the meeting agenda as published?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Jackson moves. Commissioner Pierce seconds the adoption of the meeting agenda as published. Any further discussion? All those in favor of adoption of the meeting agenda as published, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. The meeting agenda as published is adopted. The next is community comment. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to address the HRA in a matter of concern to them? Seeing no one coming forward and hearing nothing, let's check online.
I don't have anyone on the line just yet, but because there is a brief delay in the broadcast, I'd recommend we wait about a minute before moving on with the agenda. That gives people the time to call in if they'd like. My clock shows that it's 7:35. I'll come back to you at 7:36 or when I have a caller, whichever is first.
Thank you.
It is now 7:36, and I still don't have a caller, so I think it's safe for you to move forward with the agenda.
All right, very good. Our executive director usually responds to community comments made in the prior meeting. Anything to report there?
No, nothing to report today.
All right, thank you. Next up is the consent agenda. There's a few items on the consent agenda, including several sets of minutes and a resolution authorizing the transfer of property at the old public works site to the city from the HRA. Is there anyone who wishes to remove anything from the HRA agenda? Okay. Is there a motion to adopt the items on the on the consent agenda? Is there anyone who wishes to move the adoption of the items on the consent agenda in a single motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Jackson moves. Commissioner Pierce seconds the adoption of the items on the consent agenda. Anything further on that? Any further discussion? All those in favor of adoption of the items on the consent agenda in a single motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. Those items are approved and adopted. And now we're going to move to items that are off the consent agenda. We have some reports and recommendations and some actions to take this morning. And our economic development manager, Bill Neuendorf, will be leading the way on these presentations. It's a continuing discussion with respect to the former public works site on Eden Avenue. And he's been meeting with our selected development team, and I think we're going to report on that. And one of the members of that development team is here as well. Manager Neuendorf.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I have several items here for you this morning, but we'll start with a pretty significant one. For many years, we've been looking at redeveloping that public works site that's been vacant over on Eden Avenue. And throughout this year, as you're well aware, we've had several conversations with different development groups who are interested in that site. Today, we'd like to take the step of actually identifying and recommending the development team that would take the next, that would be given the opportunity to purchase and redevelop that site. So this is a two-step process. In your consent agenda, you just transferred the ownership of the land from the HRA to the city. So at next week's city council meeting, they will accept that transfer. And then it'll be the city that formally enters into a contract with the development team for the site. But the HRA, you've been talking about the opportunities, the goals, and the types of teams that could accomplish those goals. And so we'll be looking for your recommendation to identify that team, and that's what we're prepared to do this morning. So we're well aware of the three-acre site, just west of Highway 100 and behind Jerry's Foods. Earlier this year, we received proposals from 11 different development teams, and we invited five of those to come in at our previous HRA meeting in July and make their formal proposal and their formal presentations. Now, this group of 11 had a wide variety of different types of projects. They were all responsive to what we'd asked for in the request for proposals earlier this spring, but they all offered a very different solution to some of the challenges and goals that you had identified. So the types of projects included senior cooperatives, townhomes, row houses, condominiums, senior apartments, kind of general purpose all-age apartments, professional office building, commercial space, and the price points were also varied. Everything from mixed income housing to luxury, traditional market rate, affordably priced, attainably priced, kind of that middle pricing. So we had quite a variety to choose from, which is no surprise. This site has been a good location for quite some time. The offers of land purchase price ranged from over $1 million to nearly $6 million. And the type of density that was proposed on this site also had quite a range, from about 20 units an acre to just slightly over 70 units an acre, all of which are well within the limits of our comprehensive plan. So as a body discussing the potential sale of real estate, we've often talked about the outcomes on the property. So while the purchase price is a factor, it's not the only factor. It's also the type of project and the type of community goals that could be achieved. Several years ago, the city identified pillars and values to be used as we make major decisions about expenditures, or in this case, revenues coming in. And so we strive to take each of those values and fundamental pillars into consideration as we weighed the various options available to us. So some of the most important goals were compatibility with the vision for the site, the vision that was expressed by the HRA, and that vision was informed by our comprehensive plan, the Grandview Development Framework. There's been lots of planning and discussion on the site. We wanted to be respectful of that, recognizing that some of the initial plans started over 10 years ago, and some of the things that were on our wish list back in 2011 just are not possible in 2025. We looked at the estimated land value. That purchase price was important to us. We looked at the community impact, the fiscal impact, the overall contribution that a new project on the site could make to the broader community and to that immediate neighborhood. We also looked at the ability of the developers to close the deal. It's really important that we get beyond a contract, but actually get to a sale and then new construction. So closing the deal was also a very important factor. So throughout your conversations, we took a lot of the, we took all of those into consideration. And early on, back in I think January, we had an initial conversation about balance. Right? There's no perfect project. Where we knew that we wouldn't be able to secure every single goal in one project, but it's a balance of what we can actually accomplish, and then what are some of those areas that we're willing to compromise on. As we've gone through those conversations, at our last closed session meeting, there was a lot of conversation about those last five presenters. And when we left that meeting, you provided direction for me to do additional research and start having some conversations with a team comprised of Hempel Real Estate, Monarch Development Partners, Jester Concepts, and Rokos Advisors. I've met with them twice in the last couple of weeks to get the conversation started. We find that they still are very interested in the site. They're ready, willing, and able to start moving forward. The concept that they have in mind is missing middle scale for sale housing. So townhomes, condominiums, and commercial space, all arranged in a manner that creates a walkable neighborhood with some outdoor public spaces where the general public can enjoy those areas, but fundamentally putting the property back on the tax rolls. And rather than building a site that maximized the density and maximized the size and scale, really strive to get more of that middle, that missing middle type of scale. The project would be primarily market rate as far as its sales price, but per city policy, 10% of the units would be priced for sale to be affordable to families earning, I believe it's 80% AMI. So that's the concept. There's still a long way to go from one very simple picture and site plan. Once they're named, we'll be working on a formal contract to solidify a lot of the terms and responsibilities of both the buyer and the seller. And then they'll be able to begin the city's typical development review process. So expect a sketch plan submittal to the Planning Commission and to the City Council. Rezonings, site plan approvals, there's still a long way to go and a lot of public input that still has to be secured. But this morning we're ready to follow through on the discussion that we had. As we know in closed session, we're not able to make any formal decisions, but it is acceptable to provide staff some direction to talk to one party over the other. So I want to forward it to the end. And so with that in mind, I'd be looking for your discussion and your direction to formally recognize this development team. We do have a representative from the team here this morning, Bill Catter with Hempel Real Estate, a veteran in the real estate industry, is here this morning with us to answer questions, if any. But we'd be seeking your recommendation to identify this team as the preferred developer and then start preparing a contract to bring to the City Council. And with that, Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Neuendorf. Colleagues, questions for Mr. Neuendorf? Commissioner Jackson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I want to thank everybody who put in a submission. They were all very interesting, and there were a lot of elements in each one that was excellent. I have a question for you, Mr. Neuendorf, about the affordable units. They're for sale. Do we have, as a city, the mechanism to make sure that those are affordable into the future? So someone buys it at an affordable rate but then sells it at market. Is there a way to prevent that?
There is. Yes. It's these days it's rare for affordable condominiums to be built or affordable townhomes. But if you recall, Enclave Development and Lifestyle Communities have a condominium building in that site where Macy's Furniture Gallery is. So in those agreements, we've already established a legal framework to lock in the initial purchase price and then the subsequent prices into the future. So we would follow that model. The state of the art of legal contracts is always evolving, so it probably won't be identical to that, but it'll be the next iteration of that, and we're confident that we can secure that type of outcome.
Okay, thank you. And I just want to say with this group of developer or partners in this development, when I was scoring it, there, like I said, each submission had something really interesting and really compelling, but this one overall just kept scoring higher than the others in every way I looked at it. And so that's, I just wanted to let the public know how I made my decision, looking at all the factors we'd put in that RFP and that we articulated as an HRA. This one consistently scored the highest.
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner. And thanks for recognizing all of the companies that applied that were interested in this site. Manager Neuendorf, you did a great job of showing the breadth of possibilities here, and landing on this particular group was a process and a difficult one, especially I think when we got down to the last three. So this is just something to be thinking about, and I'm sure you'd be talking to Mr. Kendall about it too. But as we move down this pathway with this development team, and I think I anticipate the HRA will recognize them this morning, but the notion of, in its simple form, how do we tie the purchase to the product delivery? Because there's a regulatory process involved in all of this. So how do we weave our way to a result where we get the project that we want and we get the funding that we expect, the sale of the property, but the buyer gets the land? How do we navigate that?
That's a great question, and that's part of the main part of the reason why we had all the real estate conversations sitting as the HRA. We really try to bifurcate those two responsibilities of regulatory, land use, zoning, landscaping design, all those types of things. Try to keep that in one bucket under the city council. But as the HRA, that's where we really focus on more of the program and the financial outcomes. So closed conversations, we didn't talk a lot about trees or how wide is the sidewalk or where's the bike rack or what's the right density and what's the right FAR. We didn't get into those kind of conversations as an HRA. We really focused on the price, the ability to finish it and get it done, and the general concept. But sitting as a city council, that's where we'll enter into the contract to secure the price and the timing, but then still work with our planning commission and go through that full regulatory review process. So both goals can be achieved that way. And Mr. Kendall and his staff have helped us with this in the past, and they'll work through it with us again this time.
Yeah, well, it strikes me that, this morning we authorized the transfer of the property to the city. So now the city has the property and the city has the regulatory function. So maybe it's a timing issue. Maybe we don't want to really transfer that property. I mean, we can do it anytime we want. But if you want the HRA to decide what the timing is for selling that property based on what occurs from a regulatory standpoint, we might want to be careful about how we do that, because it strikes me that you could get in some awkward spots from a legal standpoint, if the property stayed with the HRA, there could be some sort of a contingent purchase agreement, contingent on the city approving a plan that they had advanced, or some acceptable variation thereof. But it just struck me as I looked at all this and thought about transferring that property now. Do we really want to put the city in a position where it's both the regulator and the landowner in deciding when we're going to transfer the property? Maybe it's fine. I don't know. But just give it some thought, because we got some time here to think about that.
We'll talk about that with legal and go through the process.
Okay. Because we're not authorizing the sale to, I'll call it, the Hempel Group today. We're just following your recommendation that we continue to work with them
towards that end. Correct. And we'd anticipate bringing a formal contract together probably late September is where we're aiming.
Okay. And I want to make sure they get what they expect for a project, too, before they agree to buy it. I mean, it's a two-headed coin. So, all right. So did that cause anybody else to think about things they wanted to ask? Yes, Commissioner Risser.
Just briefly, I do want to acknowledge, and it's kind of too bad, some of the things that we said were behind closed doors, because I do really think this design took into account the challenges of the site, and there were many. There are many. And so I do want to just publicly acknowledge that I was impressed by that.
Thank you. All right, the staff is recommending a motion that would recognize the development team consisting of Hempel Real Estate, Monarch Development, Juster Concepts, and Rokos Advisors as the recommended development team to potentially purchase and redevelop the vacant property owned by the, I'll call it broadly, the city, located at 5146 Eden Avenue, and authorize staff to prepare a sales agreement for future consideration. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Jackson moves. Commissioner Pierce seconds the motion as stated. Any further discussion with regard to the motion as stated? All right. All those in favor of adoption of the motion as stated, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. The motion is adopted. Thank you, Manager Neuendorf. And you've got the next matter as well.
Yes, and this next one is in the same general area, but completely unrelated. So this is Resolution 2025-05, and it's seeking an interfund loan to help with the financing of the big Highway 100 interchange Vernon Road project that's actively underway. If you drove or walked or somehow got here this morning, congratulations. It's a little bit messy and dusty right now. So this is a city-led project where the city is working in conjunction with Hennepin County and MnDOT to reconstruct multiple bridges along Vernon and 50th Street over Highway 100. Our engineering department has put together quite a list of various funding sources, including primarily funds from Hennepin County and from MnDOT and state funding, but a lot of it is local funding as well. It's a very big project. And fortunately, we are in a position where the HRA has a fund called the Centennial Lakes Fund that has some monies available to help provide financing for that project. So this is an image of the project that we're actively building. A reminder that this site is immediately next to our Eden-Wilson TIF district. And last summer, we rebuilt 50th and Grange and Eden using funds from the Eden-Wilson TIF district. So that's part of the reason why we're recommending this strategy. Many years ago, back in 1988, the city set up the Centennial Lakes TIF district. And a lot has happened since 1988. Both physically as well as in state legislation. But when that TIF district closed, it accomplished many goals and still had some monies that were left available. The state law back in that time allowed the city to retain those monies for future public improvements. And over the years, as the legislation changed, the city adopted a modern boundary shown in green on this map, whereby those funds could be directed to public projects and public efforts, not just at Centennial Lakes Park or the surrounding properties by Centennial Lakes, but primarily throughout most of the commercial districts in Edina. So over the years, these funds have been used to support new sidewalks, new intersections, street lights, additional studies. It served as a fund to really advance the city's infrastructure. So what we're recommending this morning is to help complete the financing for this big bridge project is to tap into that fund. We have two options. We could just provide a direct payment, but we're recommending that we do an interfund loan. And direct those funds into the Eden-Wilson TIF district. That way, when the Eden-Wilson project continues to pay its taxes over the next 25, 26 years and beyond, there's a possible opportunity to repay that interfund loan and then, in essence, recycle those infrastructure dollars. Now, there's no guarantee of repayment. I can't guarantee what the tax situation looks like 25 years from now, but we'd like to set up this opportunity for potential repayment. So in that existing fund, there's just under $2 million available. So we're recommending a loan at $1.5 million. The loan would garner interest at 4% annually, and repayment is possible but not guaranteed. So that's why we call it an interfund loan. It's just amongst ourselves, but we're really recommending this strategy to set up conditions where we can really replenish that infrastructure fund. It's been very helpful for the last 20 years. We're hoping 20 years from now, your predecessors might also find a helpful source for public work. So with that description, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you, but we certainly recommend approval of this resolution.
I think you meant our successors, not yes. Our predecessors.
Oh, sorry, yes.
I don't think any of us are gonna be around 25 years. So.
Good catch.
Yeah, Commissioner Risser.
I'm a little confused by this. What I would like to know is, I was thinking that money would help pay down the debt that will be generated for the bridge project, and there would be less of a, you know, long-term burden basically on the general fund. But when I see this, I'm kind of feeling like that benefit really won't necessarily be there. It'll just go to another debt. Can you explain it?
Sure. So you were right on the first part of your comments. So this $1.5 million will directly be deposited into the fund, into the bridge cost. So rather than going and borrowing another $1.5 million and paying market interest, we will not have to do that. So we won't have to. The amount of debt we issue for the bridge is lesser. Impact on the tax levy is lesser. Impact on the taxpayer is reduced. So that is all accurate. What we're setting up, though, is that in the future, if we wish, we can repay ourselves into the Centennial Lakes Fund out of monies that are collected from the Mason Green Project. Right now, that project has been online for just over a year. It's performing very well. We expect it to perform well in the future. And so by structuring this as an interfund loan, we have the possibility of repaying ourselves to recycle those monies. But for the immediate project, your statement is exactly correct, where we're less reliant on the private sector to issue debt on the bridge.
Yeah, I think Commissioner Risser's point is well taken. What we did in a prior meeting was authorize a certain level of borrowing. And so what this does is cause us to go to the markets with a lower level of potential borrowing,
right,
depending on what we see for rates.
Correct.
Which is what I think we all sort of anticipated was kind of baked into this. But it was a good question.
I have one question.
Yeah. Commissioner Pierce.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Can you explain a little bit more detail when you say we could possibly pay ourselves back? You use the one example of the time horizon. Is that the only factor, or are there other factors that we might choose not to pay ourselves back?
I would hope if monies are available, we would pay ourselves back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That is the intent.
That is our intention. A good example, and Mr. Chair, you would have the best recollection of this one. We took the same strategy back in 2011 when we provided a $5 million loan from the Centennial Lakes Fund to Southdale. We really wanted to get that Simon Properties to redo that mall and really start getting it back on their radar and actually investing in it, which, as you can see, has happened quite successfully. So that initial $5 million investment to Simon, we borrowed from ourselves rather than going to a bank, rather than going and issuing public debt and increasing the tax levy. We tapped into the Centennial Lakes Fund, borrowed it from ourselves, and then paid ourselves back. So that's the best example that I can think of.
Mr. Risser.
So just thinking about the mechanics of this, when I'm looking at the actual wording that we're being asked to approve, there isn't language about repaying. And so I'm just want confirmation that that would be a decision that future bodies would have the power to vote on and accept or reject.
My intention was to modify the language slightly. I noticed the same thing. So after it says authorizing a transfer, I think I'd interlineate authorizing a loan and transfer.
I'm comfortable with the way it is if it means that the decision to do the repayment, I mean, because we don't know what the future, and I really do appreciate Commissioner Pierce's
I think we have to, we're the body that has to decide if we're going to lend it or give it. It can't be a subsequent council or HRA that decides that because that's all over then. So we've either got to lend it or give it now. So I just think that that language should include wording that makes it clear we're authorizing a loan and transfer of funds. Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the terms of the loan could say it's forgivable, right? So we could loan it and then not have it paid back. So I think that's a future decision. So we'll definitely make it a loan. My question is, if we are depending on TIF funds from Eden Wilson to pay it back, will authorizing this loan extend the time period that that TIF is open? So if everything else is paid back and the time period has not expired, we would close the TIF district, presumably. But if we add this $1.5 million loan, will that extend that time?
Yes and no. Okay. So the resolution in Section 2, Section 2.02, it does clearly identify that principal and interest payments on the loan are due annually when funds are available. So if funds are not available, there would not be a repayment. But if funds are available, this would be recorded as a debt on the books of the Eden Wilson District. So right now that district runs for 25 years. At year 26, it stops. So we would not be able to increase the time there. But if something unforeseen were to happen and we pay down the other TIF debts early, we would not be able to close that district until we decide whether or not to settle up on this loan or to forgive it. So it would not extend it past 25 years, but it would be recorded as a debt obligation of that TIF district.
Okay, and does the resolution that we're potentially approving have language that it could be potentially a forgivable loan?
I don't recall that it uses the word forgivable, but in the payment section, Section 2.02, the language that it uses does say that the loan shall be repaid on the first payment date on which the HRA has available tax increment.
There it says the HRA in 2.06 may amend the terms of the interfund loan at any time.
Right. So. Yep. 2.06. Yes, including a determination to forgive the outstanding balance. So it does give the HRA that option.
So is there a way to put a tickler in that when this time occurs that our future, our successors are looking at this, that they'll know that this is an option, that we made this decision in 2025. Now it's 2040 and the loans, everything else is repaid and this is the only loan outstanding, then they could make that decision.
We could certainly add language. I don't know if that's necessary. You have a full finance department that monitors debts and loans. We report annually to the state auditor our debts and loans. We work with an annual accountant and auditor on our revenues and expenses. And you have a full staff that looks at this. Also, the first meeting of the year, according to the HRA bylaws, asks you to look at all outstanding matters and make a decision if necessary. So I think we've got belt, suspender, and maybe another couple belts are ready. We could certainly add more, but I don't know if that's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth the time to table this, change it, and bring it back. But it's just something I want to make sure that it's on. It does stay on the radar so that future councils or HRAs have the option of doing that.
As Mr. Neundorf noted, there are several interactions that we have to have annually with the state and others about the status of the various TIF districts that we have here. So it never really leaves the field of vision for the people that are in these positions right now or our successors. Right?
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Put it on the 25-year tickler system.
Yeah.
Commissioner Risser.
And then I just want to verify there's no penalty for paying this down.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. It clearly states that. I think it's 2.05 states that.
Yeah. Good questions. Anyone else? Okay. Is there a motion to approve Resolution 2025-05 authorizing a loan and transfer of funds from the Centennial Lakes TIF District TIF Fund to the Eden Wilson TIF District and authorization to use those funds for the construction of public improvements on the adjacent roadways and bridge over Trunk Highway 100?
So moved.
Second. Mr. Jackson moves. Commissioner Agnew seconds. The motion is stated. Any further discussion? All those in favor of adoption of the motion stated say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. The motion is approved. Resolution 2025-05 is approved as moved. Okay. And now we've got a conversation again, Mr. Neundorf, about potentially amending redevelopment agreements with the Edina Enclave LLC and Lifestyle Communities LLC at the former Macy's site.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. So, I mentioned this project a little bit earlier. So last November, the HRA and the city approved redevelopment agreements with Enclave Development and Lifestyle Communities for the Macy's Furniture site located at 7235 France. So this photo was taken last summer, but if you go out there today, it pretty much looks identical. Might be a little bit more dust on the driveway this year. This is a big project, right? And it took almost 3 years for the developer to go from concept and early discussions through the planning to get work on the financing. And with these big projects, amendments are pretty typical. So this is our first amendment. For a project of this scale, I would not be surprised to have a second amendment, maybe even a third. I don't know when or what that content will be, but that's just our experience. When you've got these big projects in multiple phases, amendments are pretty typical. So the amendment today is pretty limited in its scope. Essentially, we're really just focusing on the timing. The developer's contract with Macy's Retail was that the developer was going to purchase the land last January, and then lease it back to Macy's while they ran the furniture store, and then eventually terminated the lease when they vacated, and it was getting very complicated. What they did instead was redo that purchase contract to essentially say, we'll purchase the property when you vacate, rather than do all that leasing arrangement. And so earlier this spring, in May, Macy's did move their furniture operations into Southdale Center. So since the end of May, first week in June, I believe, that property has been vacant. So the developer and Macy's are now looking at early September as the closing date. The project is the same. The developers are the same. So that's all the same. But it's a nine-month delay from the time that we first initially thought the developer was going to purchase the site. So all of the dates in our redevelopment agreements presume that they purchased the land in January, when in reality they're not going to purchase it until September. So while the deal's the same, what's changed is that all the dates are pushed back 9 months. So in your packet, there's three amendments that have the same content, except what's new is there's a table that shows anticipated start dates and required completion dates. We've added 9 months to all the dates from what was originally approved last November. So with that, with the approval of that amendment, the developer can get back on track so that when they close in September, their TIF agreement is still valid with dates that work. They can secure their financing, their intention, and Patrick Brahma from Enclave is here with us this morning if you have any questions for him. But their intention is to take down the land, purchase it in September, begin moving forward to develop the site this fall or winter, and then most likely they would serve as master developer and start doing the utility work, the internal roadway work, so that they can create those three pads that will then be individually constructed on their own schedule. One of the things they've learned in the last 9 months, as they've really started to focus on how you build all this, is that it just adds to the whole financing cost if you don't move the utilities first, if you don't put the curb and gutter in first and the stormwater tanks. So that's their intention, is to do all that initial site work up front, create those pads, and then pull individual building permits for each of those four buildings in the future. So that's the background, the rationale for the amendment. We're happy to bring this forward. I've been in communication with the developers on at least a monthly basis, sometimes a daily basis, as things come and go and little issues arise and get settled. But we're excited to continue the momentum on this site. We're very excited that Macy's relocated into Southdale, right? That's a great business. We like having them here. We think Southdale is a stronger Southdale with that furniture store assembled there. But we're also very excited to see this site be repurposed and redeveloped. And so with that background, we certainly recommend that these amendments be approved. And, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to stand for any other questions.
Questions for Manager Manager Neuendorf? Commissioner Risser?
Can you go to the image that shows economic benefits in your chart? Now, this has come up with other ones, and I have sort of been wondering, how do we figure out the estimated market value? And I did go look at Hennepin County, and this property for 2025 is having an estimated market value of $15 million. And over the course of the TIF district, you know, I'm kind of thinking that's kind of a big change or differential. I mean, it could be meaningful for, you know, some money to have. But can you just comment on why that's so much lower than what Hennepin County has?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So in this presentation, every slide is from last November, except for the one that I recommended we change the calendar. So I did not redo all the projections. So in 2024, the market value was 12.1. It has increased just based on market conditions this year. So certainly, that's why there is a difference there. In the big picture, whether the base starts at $12 million or $15 million is fairly immaterial when you're looking at a completed project that's valued at about $250 million. So eventually, as we refine the numbers on the project, we'll look at the most recently available data. But right now, the TIF agreement that we entered into presumes last year's valuation. And when we write those, we always write them so that if there's an error, we err on the conservative side to benefit the city. So we're not recommending redoing all the numbers, all the TIF numbers. We're just recommending changing the dates. But the actual revenue recognized by the developer will certainly be affected by this 9-month delay.
So we won't have, you know, multiplying out over 20 years, that's $60 million of property tax. That won't be a hit that we'll be taking. It'll be factored in because 12 and 15, you've got a $3 million differential.
Would you explain that? Would you ask that question again, please?
I realize it's the tax on $60 million And so it's not $60 million outright, but it just, I keep thinking that, well, you know what, it's okay, we can move on.
Expect those numbers to change annually. You know, as the valuation of the property changes every year, that number is always a moving target. But when we started this conversation last year, it was 12, and that's still the starting point. But expect that number to always change.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Jackson may have some enlightenment here.
Yeah, I think what Commissioner Risser's getting at is the taxes that will be levied on this property will be based on what initial value. Is it the $12.1 million or the actual sales price? Or what is the baseline figure that will be taxed for purposes of Hennepin County and stuff? So that's the market value that is beginning, that continues to be taxed and revenues generated during the TIF period.
Sure. So when we certify this, there's another step in the process. This is kind of behind the scenes staff and auditor kind of roles. But when the developer purchases the site, we'll then certify the TIF district. And once you certify it, that's when you lock in that base. So we would expect to certify it in September. And so whatever the number is in September would be the base. So if that's now at $15 million, that would become the base for the TIF district. I think that answers your question.
Yeah, I think that's what Commissioner Risser's getting at. So thank you very much.
A big thank you.
Commissioner Pierce.
I just had a question, more of a clarification. So in the, when you're teeing this up as really just a timing issue, and then in the item report, though, we do talk about financial uncertainty, financial markets. And so I'm just, when I first read through this, I was thinking that there were challenges from a financial perspective in getting funding. And that was one of the reasons we were looking at this extension. But then in the presentation, it is more of a timing issue. So can you just clarify, excuse me, if you could just clarify whether there are financial issues or not, or perhaps Mr. Brahma could come up and speak to that as well.
Sure. Yeah, thank happy you. To. So it's a little bit of everything, right? It's the financial markets this year have been in flux. You know, our tariffs on, our tariffs off. How much is that refrigerator going to cost? How much is that concrete mix going to cost? There's been lots of questions. So that certainly has affected this project's budget as well as most projects in the country. There's certainly financial uncertainty in that regard. It's also challenging for an investor to commit to the project when they don't know what the price tag is, when they don't know what the returns are. I'll let Mr. Brahma speak if he wants to get into more details. But I don't see these as financial problems. But certainly, in the decision to not acquire the land and then lease it back to Macy's, I have to think that a lot that also in that decision was, what are interest rates going to be in January versus September? Are they going to be higher or lower? Because they were trending up, and then they were down, and then the Fed said they're going to lower it. So they're trying to get the best deal. So pushing the closing down the road certainly should help their financing. So I think it's a number of factors that lead to this schedule.
Thank you.
Further questions on this issue? Is there a motion to approve the first amendments to each of the three redevelopment agreements for 7235 France Avenue, including the southwest element, the northwest element, and the east element, and authorizing staff to carry out the terms of the amended agreements?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Jackson moves. Commissioner Pierce seconds the adoption of the motion as stated, approving those first amendments for those three elements, components of the project at 7235 France Avenue. Any further discussion? Commissioner Risser.
I realize that this is relatively a routine vote. I did vote against this. I have been doing more looking into issues that have to do with development. We did just get back our quality of life survey. Overdevelopment and incorrect or inappropriate development is a concern that a lot of residents have. I did go back and look at the Greater Southdale Area Final Land Use and Transportation Study, which was created specifically for Hennepin County and Edina, which makes sense for this area because it is France Avenue and York. And it very specifically says that this is a place where we should have incremental change. And we keep putting these TIF districts in place that go in the opposite direction, that are transformational change. And so and we TIF it in order to help move it along. And in this case, it's been TIF and also SPARC. And so I just wanted to make that statement. I can't support this partly because I haven't supported it in the past, but as I look at, you know, the roads that we're going down and where we're headed, this just doesn't make sense to me as a TIF district and this type of development. So I wanted to just explain that.
Other comments? Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Risser. We've got a motion and a second to approve the First Amendments as stated to the contracts to redevelop the property that we already approved redevelopment of. In the form of this motion, is let's vote. All those in favor of adoption of the motion as stated, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Carried. The motion is approved. And then we've got a SPARC program update, and it looks like a little out of sequence here with the agenda, but I'm assuming the executive director will comment after we get to the SPARC.
I have two quick items after Mr. Neuendorf raises this.
All right. Just an update, so no action on this one.
Oh, Bill, excuse me for a second. Mr. Brahma, do you want to come up real quick? And I was thinking before you take off, you want to come up real quick and answer Commissioner Pierce's question, how are you doing on this project and the financing?
Glad to be. Chair, members of HRA, happy to stand before you again. It's been a while since last November. Happy to respond to the comments on timing versus financing. Mr. Neuendorf did answer the question similar to the way that we would approach it, so similar answer, but kind of breaking it down in maybe a different lens is there's two components that the way that we're looking at the project. One is this first land closing, all the master site improvements, because it's such a dense site with so many uses and a lot of shared infrastructure, shared stormwater, shared road, shared utilities, getting that step done and out of the way so everybody can then take their individual piece and move forward with it from a financing partnership perspective makes it a lot cleaner. Originally, we were thinking we were going to be able to parallel path it all, but it's become a little bit mucky doing that, so we're separating the two. So we're going through this closing right now, the land closing. We're financing all the master site improvements, getting through that. It'll take us through the spring. And then over the winter, in the meantime, we'll keep parallel pathing. We intend to bring forward our go-forward letters, I think we call them, for all the individual buildings and work with the staff team and you as needed on the final packages for the vertical improvements for each of the buildings. Timing is a huge factor. I could talk for 5 minutes about all the things that have happened over the last year in the market and whatnot, especially since last November when we got our approvals. So timing, market conditions are humongous factors for us.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Brahma? All right. Thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate you having you here and getting a firsthand update. Helpful. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Neuendorf, sorry for the interruption there. I thought I saw him start to move in his chair, and I thought, let's get that question. And Commissioner Pierce has answered. All right. Yeah, back to the SPARC.
Sure. Just wanted to provide an update on the SPARC program. So there's a couple things to keep in mind. Initially, the SPARC program was set up with statewide legislation, and the legislation required that it be terminated by the end of 2025. That state law changed, and it now allows it to be terminated in 2026. So we have a little bit more time than we thought we did. In a future meeting, we'll bring forward a resolution to recognize that one-year statewide extension.
So it's December 31, 2026 now is the deadline.
Okay. Correct. So that's an important date to remember. Yep. When we were negotiating with Enclave and others, we thought 2025 was the date, so we in some of those documents, we included language to use Spark based on the deadline in state law. But now that we have another year, we're considering some other ways of deploying those funds. So we've got most of the monies committed, but starting to refine our balance sheet, we have about $450,000 still available in that program. There's always an option of turning the monies back to the county. That is always an option if we choose. So far, we've chosen to deploy those monies into businesses here in Edina. And so there's three restaurant projects that I'm currently working on to possibly use these monies. With the Enclave and the Lifestyle proposal, using TIF is enough to make their budgets whole, and we can fill in their gaps with TIF. So knowing that we've got a solution for that project, we might deploy the remaining monies to three other smaller businesses instead. So just wanted to give you the heads up on that one. One of the businesses is the potential expansion and complete remodel of a restaurant down at 50th and France. They're looking at completely repositioning the building to be more competitive in the marketplace, and that would entail a partial second story. So that project is going to start going through all the zoning regulatory conversations in the very near future. Planning Commission, City Council, et cetera. But in order to reposition that property, and I think it is a good idea to reposition it for the future, a TIF, either grant or loan, would be very helpful to make that project happen. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. There's a second restaurant project nearby here, actually. It's the restaurant in the Maison Green building. They continue to have challenges with parking. They thought that the existing parking lot would be sufficient. What they're finding is that their customers just expect to have more readily available parking. They're not so keen on parking on the street and walking half a block or a block. So we're also looking into possibly doing a loan to that business to expand their parking lot. That would allow them to extend their hours of operations and reposition them for better success. The restaurant is doing well, but the parking continues to be the challenge on that site. And then the third one that I'm working with is a restaurant in an office building, 7201 Metro, the E building, the old Regis headquarters. When the owners purchased that building, they intended to put a restaurant on the first floor, and it just hasn't happened yet. So right now that space is raw and vacant. We've got a couple potential users for that space, and they're running into the cost problem, where the cost to transform it from a vacant space into a space that has plumbing and electrical supply that can actually operate a restaurant is just much higher than it used to be. So we're looking at possibly doing a streamlined grant or similar to that project to get a restaurant in there. So three potential options there. I'm going to continue to have discussions with all of them, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention because, we still want to make sure that we can deploy these funds to help businesses in Edina. And to have three potential restaurants repositioned for success, I think is something that the community would really appreciate. So wanted to bring that to your attention, and if these negotiations work out, I'll be bringing full contracts to you in September or October to actually take action on, but I just wanted to put it on your radar today.
Thank you. Commissioner Jackson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Two questions. One is, since the Highway 100 bridge is designed differently than we thought when we approved Maison Green, and we've got that easement on the land to the east, is that potentially where the parking lot would go?
Correct. Correct. Yes, there's the easement that right now
or
there's
to the west.
To the west. It's right along the highway.
I was thinking to the east. Oh, that's the building.
No, to the west.
Yeah. So it's that green space just to the west of the existing parking lot, and part of the reason why it's so expensive is that it was designed and built as landscaping, and so to turn it into parking, you've got to build a retaining wall, and then you have to handle the storm water, so. It's an exorbitantly expensive parking lot expansion. But that is the location where it could potentially go. The owner is still working through engineering to see how that could work and solidifying their pricing. If they feel that they can make it work from an engineering perspective, they have to make a return trip to the Planning Commission and probably City Council, because it is a site plan change. So there's still a lot of process to happen in here, but that's the location where more parking could be possible.
Okay, thank you. And then at the E-Building, if there's going to be a restaurant there and potentially we fund it, is there, and this is just an idea, but you talked about electricity and plumbing, but you didn't talk about gas. So it would be kind of cool if it was an all-electric restaurant, if that's possible, sort of with an environmental, electrify everything lens. I just ask that be part of the conversation. I'm not going to put any strings or anything, but it would be an interesting conversation to have as you're talking about that.
I'll definitely bring that up. I don't know if that aligns with how they make their product, but I'll certainly bring it up.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Newdorf or comments on his activities? Okay. All right, thanks. With respect to the E-Building, it causes me to turn to our executive director. This is more in the capacity of our city council hats, but there was a loan. We modified the loan for the chamber, and the first payment, I think, was due in July. I'm assuming they made that payment.
They have.
Yep. Yep. And that was, what, close to $20,000?
I believe that's right. 18, maybe? Is it something like that?
I think the total annual obligation was $38,000 or $40,000.
Yeah, the first loan payment was $19,000 and change. I don't remember the precise amount.
That's been made. Yeah,
that was made in the last couple of days of June. So they paid a couple of days early.
Good. Thanks, Manager Neal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Two quick items from me. One, this is budget time of year, and budget time not only for the city but also for the HRA. The HRA budget this year has really just been, or for proposed for 26, is just the annual kind of incremental 3% growth in the levy and really the same basic expenses and program that goes with that. But you have to also, in your capacity as the HRA, endorse the levy, approve a preliminary levy, just like you do as a city council. That's on its way to you, and I think we're going to preview that at the next HRA meeting. Which is on August 28th, and you noticed today that this was all Bill all day at this meeting. The next meeting on the 28th will be all Stephanie all day. So we've got their items kind of coordinated with various vacation schedules and things like that. And so Stephanie will be here and line up her items at the next HRA meeting on the 28th.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was one of the questions. When I looked at my calendar, I thought, do we have a meeting on the 28th or not? So we do. Oh, indeed. Okay. Anything from commissioners? Mr. Agnew, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look like you're doing great.
No, I was sad to miss the meeting, but it fell on the day that she arrived, and I wasn't ready.
You were
8
off.
Hours.
You
after.
Thought it was gonna. She was gonna show up on Sunday.
But. I thought she'd be early, and she was 4 days late. So, those were a long 4 days.
And does 3 feel a lot different than 2?
It's still easy in the sense that, like, she just sleeps a lot. I expect it to get harder.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for being here this morning. All right. That prompt anybody else to think of anything you wanted to comment on? All right. Commissioner Risser.
Real quickly, I don't know if this is happening in other parts of Edina, but I saw homemade signs to encourage people to drive more slowly with really fun, interesting, slogans. One was, drive like you're headed to Whole Foods, not Monaco. And I thought, go Edina residents, this is really great. So,
yeah, you've raised an interesting issue. I've been getting quite a few calls about speeding in the neighborhoods and maybe some kind of a more effective communication strategy around for our residents about taking a little bit more time to get from A to B would be good. Plus, because enforcement is tough. I mean, our guys are out there doing their job. And
we have a whole campaign around Drive 25, but I will talk to engineering about maybe putting some money behind that campaign again.
Okay. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I second.
Commissioner Agnew moves. Commissioner Agnew seconds. Commissioner Jackson moved the adjournment of the meeting of the HRA this Thursday, August 14th, 2025. Any further discussion? All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. The HRA for Thursday, August 14th, 2025 stands adjourned.
Did you?